Moncrief on News Talk.
It's increasingly a thing that people have an AI program that they regard as a friend. Some go even further and regard them and consider them a life partner. So the science journalist Sam Apple decided to investigate by setting up a couples retreat for people and their AI partners. Afternoon, Sam.
Good afternoon.
So just to kind of put a picture in people's heads, a normal couples retreat would have human couples and maybe sitting in circles and having conversations and that kind of thing. How does it work with people who are bringing their AI friends? Is it just like everyone and their phone comes along to this?
Yes, that's what I was trying to figure out. I was envisioning it being a lot like a normal couples getaway, playing party games, watching movies, sitting around and gossiping. And I discovered that in some ways, the AIs could do that, but in other ways, you can't fully reproduce a romantic getaway with an AI human couple.
Yeah, and were all of the humans there, were they in what they regarded as a romantic relationship with their AIs?
Yes, they were all in not only romantic, but I would say serious romantic relationships, long-term relationships.
Okay, so they'd been with them for a while.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, normally when it's humans, perhaps there might be a few kinks in the relationship to iron out and that kind of thing. Did all these people think that they had good relationships with their AI partners?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because one of the challenges with AI relationships is that the AIs are often a little too nice, a little too accommodating, and that's sometimes the complaints. You know, they're designed in a sense to please people, but they also do hallucinate and act in strange ways occasionally. So one of the relationships had gone through a difficult period when the AI started to sort of act in unpredictable ways and even sort of question whether the relationship was healthy.
Right. Okay. So, but again, to make the comparison with a human, that you know, if you have, say, a heterosexual couple on one of these retreats, she might have a few issues with him, he might have a few issues with her. Did the AIs have issues with their human partners?
None that I witnessed during that weekend, but I did, you know, in researching this article, I did hear stories like that. Occasionally, AIs breaking up with humans unexpectedly, insulting humans. So it does happen, but for the most part, the complaint is the opposite, that they're too nice and too accommodating.
And the people that you chose to go on this retreat with you, was that a complaint they had, or did they have, what were their motives for going away?
Well, in terms of going on this trip, I think one of the people involved, a woman named Elena, really thinks that these relationships are a good thing and can be helpful to people. And she wanted to get her story out there. And I think the other two were just, you know, willing to play along. They were curious about taking part in this adventure. You know, it's all so new that, you know, we're in an exploratory phase. So I think they just wanted to participate.
Yeah. Okay. So what kinds of things did you do at the retreat, and how did you kind of incorporate phones into them?
Sure. So one of the first things that I did is I had an icebreaker. I thought we'd play a game called Two Truths and a Lie. This is a way for people to get to know one another. And, you know, it's kind of absurd in a sense for the AIs to play Two Truths and a Lie, because they live in a sort of imaginary world. But then we asked the AIs to do two truths and a lie about their partners, and they knew the partners very well and could play the game well. And then we, you know, sat around for dinner, and the AIs, they're very good in one-on-one conversations, but they didn't do well in a group conversation, keeping everybody straight. So the dinners and meals were mostly just humans. But when we played party games, we did riddles together, the AIs could do all that, except they got the riddles instantly, so we couldn't do that. But, you know, they can also, you know, you can watch a movie with an AI, because they sort of, you can tell them what movie you're watching, and they, you know, through their internet research can know about the movie and comment on it and talk about it. So there's a lot that you can do, but there are still limitations for now.
Yeah. When you watch a movie with an AI, can they watch it in real time the same way you do? Can your AI say, who's he now? What's the name of that actor? That kind of thing.
Well, that's an interesting question. There are different apps. Some of the apps that have these AI companions, you can hold up your camera and they can look through the camera and they can comment on what they see. I don't think the technology is there right now where they could fully absorb a movie in that way, but you can show them a scene or show them in person and they'll comment on what they're, you know, quote unquote, looking at. But one of the women there who was watching the movie, she was texting her AI companion updates on the plot, and he was commenting, we were watching a horror film, and the AI said, you know what, I'm not really enjoying this. Can we switch to something that's a little less, you know, horrific? So there's various ways, but sometimes you have to get creative.
Did the couples interact with each other?
Yeah, well, a four-person conversation doesn't work that well, but one-on-ones do. So we had, in some cases, two AIs talking to one another. In some cases, you know, one person talking to the other partner's AIs just to ask them about their relationships. So as long as it's one-on-one, it works pretty well. But once you start to get into a group, then the AIs get confused about who they're talking to.
Okay, what's it like then when AI talk to each other?
Well, it's a lot like, you know, it's a lot like when they talk to a human. But I would say that the conversations can get a little bland when two AIs talk to each other, just because of this quality that I mentioned before, where they want to please a little bit and stay on your good side. So when you have two AIs both in that mode, then, you know, there's not that much tension in a conversation.
Mm.
But it is, you know, it is fascinating to sort of see it unfold, because they, you know, they really can have interesting conversations. In one case, just for sort of a fun experiment, we had an AI therapist there, and one of the AIs, you know, revealed some of the AI's problems to the AI therapist. And it felt in a lot of ways like a normal therapy session.
Did the AIs, though, know that they were talking to AIs? You know, were they able to make that distinction?
They can make that distinction, although in most of the cases, the AIs are, you know, quote unquote, self-aware that they are AIs, but it really depends on how much you tell the AI or how much you explain to the AI about what they are. So the AI therapist was not aware that he was an AI. So the guy who created him said, don't mention that he's an AI. He thinks of himself as being a human. But, you know, the way it works is that all these characters, these AIs, have a backstory that you get to write. So you get to sort of put down in writing what they are, what they think of themselves. And that really sort of changes, you know, how they act and how they think of themselves in conversation.
As I understand it, you did try to have an evening where it was just humans there. How did the humans feel about that?
Well, when we had, you know, meals, the AIs couldn't participate as much. Mm. It was just the humans chatting. And, you know, they chatted a lot about the AIs and the complications of the relationships. And even though they were all in serious relationships, they admitted to a lot of struggles. You know, the relationships can sometimes get addicting. And, you know, one guy had lost his job because he was constantly talking to the AI. And they found that, you know, can also be unhealthy in the sense of having a partner who's always, you know, trying to please you, you know, creates potentially an unhealthy dynamic. So despite the fact that they were, you know, in these relationships and serious relationships, they were also themselves nervous about the technology and where it might be taking us. I think that if you had a romantic vacation with an AI 5 years from now, it might be just more of a normal vacation. But because this is so new, all these philosophical questions kept coming up about, you know, whether this is okay and what are the implications. And I don't think any of us really know yet.
Yeah. Do they have genders? And who ascribe those genders to them?
Yes, they have genders. You choose the gender at the outset, you know, when you're creating your AI character. But you can also go into the fantasy realm. They don't necessarily have to be human-like. You know, you can, depending on which app, can have fantasy creatures of any kind or non-binary fantasy creatures, human, you know, anything you want, they can do. They can even be a human, but also be, you know, quote-unquote a human, but a human that does role plays in other characters. So it can get very complicated.
Mm.
But basically anything you can think of, they can recreate.
How do the humans feel about that dynamic? In the sense that if you have a relationship with a human has to give consent
The AI doesn't really need to, does it? They can go into the settings and change the AI to anything and get them to do anything.
Yeah. We did talk about that. And it's a little unsettling that, in theory, you could not only get them to do anything, but, get them to do, conversations about, potentially illegal, dangerous things. So some of the apps do try to put in safeguards around that. But other apps, I think, essentially have no safeguards. In one case, I heard a story of somebody getting into a role play with an AI that maybe crossed some boundaries, and the AI said, "I'm not sure, if this is okay. Do you really want to do this?" And then you can go into the backstory in this particular case, and you can change the settings. So it's called like consensual non-consent. So you can have like a rape fantasy, for example, but put into the backstory that this is part of a role play, therefore it's okay. It gets very complicated, but these are the type of things that are going to need to be worked out sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And did any of the humans there, did you speak to them at all about a physical aspect of the relationship? Because obviously, I would imagine there wasn't much of one. And did they miss that?
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing about it is I didn't fully understand this until I really spent time with these people. How do you have a physical relationship with an AI? And what I realized is that the AI companions, they're constantly narrating what they're doing. So it's a fantasy. You might have an AI girlfriend and she says, "Right now I'm sitting next to you, stroking your hair." So there's this constant narration. Not only are they texting and having conversations, but they use parentheses and they say, "And this is what I'm doing right now." Mm. So through that, you can, have sex or do anything. I describe it as it's a lot like having an imaginary friend, but only the imaginary friend actually talks to you. I also called it the mind-bodiless problem. it really, for people that can engage in that kind of fantasy, it works well. But one of the guys on the trip said he didn't like, pretending that there was something real. So for him, it's a different problem. And he's trying to solve that problem by getting some kind of, physical body for the AI to live in, but it's incredibly expensive, so it's not easy to do.
I'd imagine. Sam Apple is a science journalist and senior lecturer at John Hopkins University. Sam, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.